Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations, may the thoughts of all of our hearts, all of our minds, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so today is All Saints Day, or at least the day that we observe All Saints Day. All Saints Day is a day of remembrance in which we remember all saints. And what's a saint? A saint is someone who is holy. So that word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus. It means holy. And today we remember all of God's people who've been made holy in Christ. Who is that? Raise your hand. That's all of us who through faith have been made holy in Christ. So to use language from our readings, it's those of us who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? Those of us who are robed in white, and that white robe, that's a symbol of being forgiven, being made holy. Those in 1 John we have, those who have been claimed as children of God. So today is about celebrating that we are God's dear children, we are His saints, and we remember all the gifts that we have as God's children in Christ. Now, it's a custom in the church to specifically remember on this day those saints, those brothers and sisters in Christ who died in the past year. And so oftentimes when we hear All Saints Day, that's often what we think of, right? We think of those who've died. And today we'll have in our prayer petitions a special petition in which we remember those who died in the last year. And after each name's read, we will have a brief moment of silence. Not too long, but long enough to give us time to reflect. And I can say that can be a painful time. It can be, especially if you have a loved one whose name will be read out loud today. But I pray that it's also a time of comfort today. And that's what I want to focus on, is the comfort part of this. Because here we have the opportunity to remember the gifts and blessings that God has bestowed on His people, on His saints, including those loved ones who've gone before us. Now we get a taste, a glimpse of these blessings and gifts in our reading from Revelation, and I want you to remember this image in Revelation, because this is beautiful. You have this great crowd of people, and they are gathered around Christ and His throne. So many people, you can't even count them. They're robed in white, which means they're forgiven. They've been made holy and perfect. And here's the best part. It says they never hunger, not ever. And they never thirst, not ever. And they never bake in the hot sun, not ever. What this is saying is that these people never hurt. They never suffer. They never lack anything. And why? Because they have Jesus as their shepherd, who cares for them, who provides for their needs, who leads them to streams of living waters, who wipes every tear from their eyes. So no more suffering, no more hurt. Now this is a beautiful image, hopefully one that gives us comfort, of life after the resurrection. So this is the life that all saints, all baptized children of God, are going to enjoy in eternity. Now we find comfort as we remember those loved ones who died and knowing that they are God's dear children and therefore have all these gifts. And how do we know that they're God's children? In 1 John we're told, because God said so. So he says, look at how much God loves us. He loves us so much that he's claimed us as his children. And you've heard me mention this before. Here we find comfort in knowing that God's word has the power to do what it says. So what John says is, he calls us his children, so that's what we are. And when did that happen for you? On the day of your baptism, right? So when you were baptized, God looks down at you, and he says, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. So he calls you his son or his daughter that day. He calls you his own. And the moment he said it, it was so. And not just for you, but for all those who are baptized into Christ, right? And so this is why baptism and remembering our loved ones' baptisms can be so comforting when we mourn the loss of loved ones. Because we can remember without a shadow of a doubt, on that day God said, you are mine, and it was so. And we can remember the gifts that God has given them as his children. Now, we remember those who died, but what is today called again? All Saints Day. That includes all saints. So we want to remember God's people living now here too, right? And in our reading from Matthew, our gospel reading, Jesus is talking to his people who are still living right here, right now. And this is what he says. He says, right here, right now, you are, what was that B word? You are blessed. Not just after you die, not just after I return, but even right here, right now, you are blessed. Now, this sounds good, I think, until you look at life right here, right now, and Jesus might seem a little crazy as you listen to what he says, because he says, you are blessed. You are blessed when you mourn and you cry and your heart's filled with hurt. And you are blessed when you are poor and meek. And you are blessed when you hunger and thirst. You are blessed when people hate you and persecute you. And we look at the world right here, right now, and that's what we see, right? We see people who are mourning and crying. We see people not just hungering, but starving to death. And we see a world that's filled with hatred, and it doesn't seem blessed. But Jesus says, right here, right now, even as you hurt and even as you suffer, right here, right now, you are blessed. He says, remember the prophets of the Old Testament? They were treated in the same way. And just as God was with them and blessed them, God is with you. And he is with you in your hurt, in your grief. And he blesses you with comfort and hope now and in eternity, a life free of all pain, all suffering, all death, where every tear is wiped from your eye. Today, we remember all saints and we find comfort in the gifts that we have as being God's dear children, both for us and for those loved ones who've died before us. I want to go through these Beatitudes one more time, and I want to kind of twist them a little bit. I cannot guarantee you that Jesus meant what I'm about to say when he said them for the first time, but the gospel's here. So here I'm going to say. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn and cry and see Jesus up in heaven. He's looking down at his people whom he loves, and they're trapped in sin, and you're hurting, and you're dying, and with a tear in his eyes. Jesus says, that's not good, and he leaves heaven to come down and save you. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you are meek and poor. Jesus becomes meek and poor for us, right? Taking on human flesh, born as that poor peasant baby in that little stable cave in Bethlehem. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you hunger and when you thirst. Jesus hungered and thirsted on our behalf when he was tempted in the wilderness, fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. And he saw you trapped in your sin, and he hungered for the day that you would be made righteous and holy, forgiven. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Jesus was the merciful one. The word often used in the Gospels is compassionate. So he sees his people in need. And what's he do out of compassion, out of mercy? He heals them. And he drives out demons, and he feeds the hungry crowd. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus came with a pure heart. He lived a perfect, sinless life for us, and he might take our place on the cross. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus came to be our peacemaker, to restore our relationship with God our Father, a relationship broken by our sin. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you are hated and persecuted. Jesus came to be hated and persecuted for us, as he was nailed to the cross and left to die. And through Jesus' suffering and death, and through his resurrection 3 days later, we, right here, right now, are blessed. We've received his gifts, his blessing of forgiveness, eternal life, a life that will never end. So today, All Saints Day, we remember that we are his saints. We find comfort in knowing that our loved ones who died are also God's dear children. They're his saints. We remember the gifts that God gives his people. And I know we've had a number of people who've lost loved ones in this last year. For the last 4 years, All Saints Day has been a little different for me because it's so close to the anniversary of my dad's death. I've mentioned this before. In fact, today is the fourth anniversary of my dad's death. And those are days you don't forget. I started my morning in the library studying for a test. Had a phone call from my pastor who had brought my dad communion. You might want to see him soon. I don't know how much time we have. Mulled that over. After a few hours, I said, I just need to go over. I won't take the test today. Called the professor. I told my brother and sister. They're like, okay, we'll try to make it sometime tonight. My sister had taken off work, had gone to the house to see my dad. She calls me as I'm hitting the interstate in St. Louis, getting ready to cross across Missouri. And she's panicked because an ambulance is in front of the house. And he's being taken to a hospice hospital. So things are going quicker than we thought. I get to the hospice hospital, and the last words my dad ever spoke to me, I go to say hi to him, and he looks at me and says, will you just be quiet and let me sleep, right? That's all right. He needed rest. And so we're visiting for a while, and there's this family who had lost a loved one at this hospice hospital in the past, and they remembered how someone else had loved them, so they were sharing love that night. They had brought catered tacos. It was delicious for everyone. So we're out in the lobby eating these tacos and talking and visiting, and suddenly Maureen, Mo, that'd be my dad's wife, so my stepmom, comes out and says, something's not right, come here, come here. And I go in and he's breathing heavy, my dad's looking up at the ceiling, I know what's happening here, so I urge everyone to gather around his bed, and I was like, just talk to him. But sometimes you don't know what to say, and it gets real awkwardly quiet. And so I remember thinking, you know what? Put your pastor hat on, and it's time to share God's word here. And I took my dad by the hand, and I started to share the devotion with him, but for everyone else in that room too, a reminder of all these gifts that we've just been talking about, that we have in Christ. And then we prayed, and I thank God that he's claimed God, my dad is his child, and that he's calling him home. And then, what word do we end all prayers with? Amen. And I said amen, and the moment I said it, I could feel something different in my hand. I opened my eyes, and my sister's just looking at me, her jaw dropped. And my dad had taken his final breath on the word amen. What does the word amen mean? And if you were in 7th grade or 8th grade confirmation, we just talked about this, and you have a test this Wednesday, and this is a question. What does it mean? Yes, yes, it shall be so. Amen is a word of confidence. This is why we close our prayers with the word amen. Because we are saying, God, I know your promises, I know the promises you have made, and I know you are good on those promises. Yes, yes, it shall be so. And after sharing those promises with my dad, the last words he heard as he took his final breath, amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so. This is why we find comfort today. The pain's still real and it still hurts, but we know God's promises and we know his amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so.